Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio. It's Sunday, and it's September 6, 2020. And we haven't talked to Julian in a long, long time. I thought that it would be an apropos
Hello.
Time. Getting close to election time. This is Election Central, and we want to know who you're voting for. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You know who I will vote for? Me.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. And I would find you a vice president. Who would you want for your vice president?
Well, it wouldn't be Miss Harris, that's for sure.
Then how about Pelosi?
Well, you know, I just a little while ago, I received a very long email from a dear relative of mine in England, coming up with a list of things that Mr. Trump's done that are very, very bad things. You know, there's a whole long list.
Oh, I got it.
I dare say they're quite true, which just goes to prove, you know, when it comes to politics, there's always six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Of course.
It's like George used to say about politics. It's two words, poly and ticks. And poly means many and ticks are bloodsuckers. And he was so right.
So I would like to see that list that she gave you. Boy, that would be something. Did she email it to you, the list?
Yeah. Yes.
Give me a copy of that?
Sure, I could forward the email to you if I had your email address, but I don't think I have it.
Well, let me give it to you. USA, like United States of America, USA.
Uh-huh.
I try to keep it simple. 1036 at Hotmail.
USA 1036. I better write it down, though. I'll forget.
You forget the USA or 1036?
The 1036.
I see.
USA 1036 at Hotmail, you said.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a blessing to read that. She gave you a long list, huh? A laundry list?
Yeah. Yes, laundry list of all Trump's misdeeds that apparently turned up in the British newspapers, you know?
Oh, I'd like to see that, boy.
Well, of course, there's the media against Trump and the media for Trump in Europe, the same as there is here, except here it's all against him and nobody's for him, unfortunately.
Okay. Could you look? But the off planet people want him elected. Is that may I say that the Anunnakis, they want him in office?
Not necessarily. Well, I think the Anunnaki would want him in office. In preference to Mr. Biden, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, sure, okay, all right. So, well, guess what? My sources say that he will be reelected for the next 4 years.
Yes, okay. I'm sure he will.
Okay, fine. So, how do you think people are going to respond to him? Let Mr. Trump or the President of the United States talk about the virus. One quick second.
That place, the President said this about the coronavirus, quote, "I feel about vaccines the way I feel about tests. This is going to go away without a vaccine, and we're not going to see it again." And that is not true. As we go into this weekend with close to 80,000 dead in this country, after we lost just under 2,000 people just today, it is more important than ever to point out this is not just going to go away. And from that same room, the president went on to say, some people don't want our country to come back for political reasons. Then he said, quote, "the real people," and he defined the real people as those who want this country to be great and great again. They want to get back, as he puts it. More on the president's comments in moments, but as we delve back into the real world now, we tested 300,000 people today in our country of 327 million, give or take. And the death toll tonight stands at 77,974. The state of Georgia, the first state to undergo a so-called reopening, is currently seeing a 40% spike in coronavirus cases. This is the weekend. Remember, so many states are poised to relax restrictions. part of the president's campaign to reopen the country during an active pandemic. And on a day when we learned of a second positive case in the president's circle in the West Wing of the White House. More on that in a moment. But first, here just for clarity is the president from today, again, beneath the quote, left behind for us all from John Adams, the first president to live in the people's house.
Okay. Anyway, that's a little old report. The obviously, you know, it's 180,000 dead or close to 200,000 now. So how do you...
I'm just going to interrupt you there, if I may.
Sure.
Because,
sure,
and I'm trying to find it. And of course, you can never find things when you want them. But
sure.
I had another report from England a week ago from another friend who keeps tabs on these things, right?
Okay.
And she said that just on the British news, it was either the beginning of this week or the end of last week, there was a program on the British news with one of the top doctors in the UK who finally came out and said that they are now having to admit in the medical circles and acknowledging it in the UK that all these numbers that are supposed to have died in America is simply untrue.
Okay.
And that their statement they made was that it's actually less than 20,000, where at the same time, 38,000 have died from influenza. And what they are doing is adding all the numbers together from any respiratory disease, and that's the total number who have died. For instance, in 2018, worldwide, 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis. But we don't run around telling people to wear masks because of tuberculosis. So I think before we discuss any of these issues and think that we can come up with any answers, we have to acknowledge that we're dealing with a bunch of liars. People at the top are constantly telling lies brainwashing us. Trying to brainwash us.
Fine. But Trump makes up a lie each and every day. Come on.
Niece. But they all do. The point I'm making is that if in this day and age, Russ, with everything that's going on the planet, geophysically, politically, socially, economically, spiritually, everything that's happened, if you choose the direction forward for your life and your family's life, based on what the media is telling you or what your government officials are telling you, you're probably going down a very wrong road, because none of them on either side of the aisle, none of them are telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's the problem that we have, that people are being so misled on every level, and they get talked into behavior patterns because they are brainwashed with a pack of lies.
Okay.
And I could say this, stand up before United Nations and say, all these people are lying. And guess what? They couldn't have me up for slander because it's true. They know they're lying.
Okay.
They're deliberately lying to mislead people.
Okay. All right.
I'm having a problem with this phone. Am I shouting at you or what?
No. Keep talking. No, I love it. I love this. Because all I want to do is, I'm in the middle here, and I just want to answer a few questions. So all politicians, as you say, are liars. So
yes, by default.
Not a problem. I don't have any issue at all. So Trump says this about the virus.
COVID virus is not being effectively dealt with. It's causing huge economic problems. And what we have seen from the White House has not been the kind of consistent, thoughtful use of the powers the president has.
Cases, 99% of which are totally harmless.
Okay, so we hear that. Because you are a nurse, right? You are a nurse. And we know about it. Okay, but listen to this.
Nothing like Trump's cavernous stupidity. He's done it a lot since the COVID-19 crisis has erupted, but the idea of telling people to inject or use, you know, disinfectants and take them, and having Lysol company have to come out and say, please don't do that. And doctors all over the country today are having to kind of do a cleanup for Trump's foolish remark. It wasn't sarcasm. It was ignorance. He takes information from somebody, distills it, misstates it, and then goes on television. And it's really almost unwatchable, his performances in the White House press briefings, but yet he has purse strings and power, so people have to tune into them. It's unfortunate that we just can't listen to some of the governors talk about what they're doing in their states, and I'll always have to be doing Donald Trump cleanup work.
Okay, you have the microphone. Go right here.
Well, what I would say in response to that, that is an absolute demonstration of the lack of common sense and the plain stupidity of people if they go to Donald Trump for their medical advice. I mean, where is the sense
true.
In that?
Yeah,
would
true,
you go
true.
To Donald Trump for medical advice? Of course
I
not.
Don't think
not
so.
If you had any common sense. No, not if you had any common sense. So, you know, everything he says, however stupid it might be, and he says a lot of dumb things, however dumb it is, if people are following that and taking things like injecting themselves with Lysol, well, first, of course, there's the question of where are they getting all the needles from to do all this injecting. But that aside, it's plain stupidity on the part of the people who are doing it. You know, I mean, if you told me, Russ, go stick your head in the gas oven, I wouldn't do it.
I would hope not. So what do we have? We have a comedy of errors. It sounds like a play on this planet now.
It is. It's a joke.
Okay. It's a joke. So we're at the last.
Joke.
So we're at the last stages of what? What's going on? Everyone is lying. It's a joke. No one can be forthright in terms of giving us directions, and everybody is confused. They shut in. They shut down, and they're confused. The whole planet is confused. What happens now? Tell me, what happens?
Well, first of all, I think the social and economic situation is going to get much worse, sadly, globally. And I don't care which person ends up in the White House in November. I am pretty sure we're going to have a great deal of civil unrest in this country, which is not going to benefit anybody. This country has been so divided, and it's been a deliberate process ever since World War II. It's taken 60 years, 70 years to get us to the point where we have crippled the middle class of America and really dumbed down those who should be doing some thinking. Half the people who are in leading the political things now, all these young people coming out in their 20s and 30s that are out there causing trouble every which way you look and shouting about everything that is their opinion and maybe nobody else's, right? I bet half those people were the beginning of the HDDH, is it, or something they call it? They were Ritalin mob, right? They've been so dumbed down that there's a whole generation out there, and they're getting worse. They're so dumb, they can't think for themselves, so they just get a bit of propaganda, and they go out shouting off as loud as they can. It's a very sad situation. It's terrible.
Yep.
But it's not just America. Let's remember this. This has been a program to bring America to its knees, because America was the most powerful nation that this planet has seen since the time of Rome. No doubt about it. We were rich, we were powerful, and we were militarily out in front of everybody. We were in great shape. And look what's happened to us. You've got the end of World War II and the takeover of the industrial military complex by the powers that be, right? They've taken it over. And, you know, we tend to forget as well that when we talk about the industrial military complex, we tend to forget that a very large part of that is the pharmaceutical industry, big pharma. Oh. And look at the drugs. Look at the drugs that are fed to us. This is really important for people to understand. 80% of our medical schools are now 100% funded by Big Pharma. So when you talk to a doctor who is, let's say, 50 years or younger, right, and that's a lot of them, right, in their 30s, in their 40s, they only know pharmaceutical medicine. They don't know anything about healing. They don't know how to be physicians and diagnose without tests. They don't know how to treat without poison. Everything that they learn in school now is which drugs the pharmaceutical companies make that they apply to these diseases and which tests they run to find the diseases. They've even invented new diseases to get rid of their drugs. They've actually invented things like osteopenia. Osteopenia is a precursor to osteoporosis. It's a load of rubbish. There is no such disease. I'm sorry, but there isn't. You've either got osteoporosis or you haven't, right? So when we look at that, and then we look at the millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars every year that go through the insurance companies to Big Pharma, and you're poisoning people. You've now got a whole population, because in this country, would you believe it, 90% of the population or thereabouts takes prescribed medicines every single day. Between 80 and 90%. Every single day, they take some prescribed medicine. Now, if that's not poisoning people, I don't know what is, because every drug that is prescribed is, in a way, a poison. And especially the cancer medicines. The cancer medicines are designed to kill you.
Okay. I guess 90% of the people who are concerned about health and nutrition would agree with you. I mean, obviously, Big Pharma has taken over the whole world. I think they poison you with the food, pesticides.
You're right.
GMOs
Monsanto.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
they
in partnership with the Big Pharma, they come up with some pill that has 20,000 side effects, even aspirin. So what do we do as a people? I mean, is this the beginning of the end, you think?
We're well past the beginning of the end.
Okay.
Well past it. When you get on an aeroplane and it sets off down the runway and it gets to a certain speed and it's got past the point of no return when they can't abort the takeoff. Well, we've passed that point of no return.
We cannot
fix it by putting on any more Band-Aids. We've run out of Band-Aids.
And George talked
about
that.
It's all going to be broken.
George talked about that often, over and over and over again, and here we are. His prognostications have come true. So what do we do now? What did he suggest we do for the rest of us?
You mean for the people who actually think about what they're doing,
which
is not many. Which is less than 20% of the population today have any thought about anything. For those who are thinking, it really has, very seriously, it has come down to the point in time when you practically have to join the conspiracy theorists. I was never one of them, right? I'm an independent thinker, and I think everybody else should be thinking independently, and I still think that. But now you have to be thinking as those conspiracy theorists have been telling you for years, George included, right? First, you need to put some of your assets into metal, into gold and silver, because you will need it. Down the line, you will need something that isn't paper. The best thing you can find today as an asset is water. Clean water, because the city water plants and sewage plants won't last too long when the economy falls apart completely. So you want land. They don't make any more of land. Land is always valuable. So even if it's just a garden patch that you've got in your backyard, guard it and protect it. Look after it and start using it. And I've been asking people for this for most of my life. Learn to grow food.
Okay.
I've been preaching this for 60 years, right? And nobody ever listens, Russ. But now I think maybe people are starting to listen because they can see the writing on the wall finally, when it's just almost too late. It's certainly too late for this year, so you better start running out and buying things from the shops, because it takes at least a whole growing season to grow food, and you probably need 2 years to grow enough food and be good enough at doing it to supply yourself for the whole winter when you can't grow anything. And this winter, we are almost certainly going to see either food so high priced that it's out of most people's reach, or it's completely unavailable. There definitely will be major food shortages throughout the Western world, and it will affect us here in America. America gets away with these things. You know, we don't have famine, we don't have starvation, we don't have these things in any major way in America, but it's coming. And this winter, I am pretty certain we'll get the first big taste of it, because food will become very difficult to get. So I strongly suggest that you start stockpiling some dry goods, some food. The best thing you can get your hands on are dry beans, all different kinds of beans, because they're high nutrition and you can live on the things if you have to. But start building up a pantry of food, at least 3 months' food supply in your house, minimum 3 months' food supply, because that you could go on half rations and stretch for 6 months. The other thing you want to do is get water. Make sure that you have some kind of water filtration where you can make clean water for yourself. And you can do this very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of companies that sell those water filters.
And get away from people. Get away from the big cities, because they're going to be burning. I remember one of my off-planet friends, long, long before I thought of coming to America. I was just a girl living in England. And he was telling me about global events and how things would unfold on the Earth. And he was showing me the different points where we could change history. But, of course, we never have. We're like lemmings. We go straight down to the cliff. But he showed me a city. And I said, "What's that down there?" He said, "That is the streets running with blood."
Wow.
And I said, which city is this? And he pointed to a big sign, you know, on the freeway sign. And
yes.
It said, Detroit.
Okay.
He said, the streets of Detroit. And that was just to let me know American cities.
Okay.
But this won't just be America. This is worldwide.
Okay. But he was from off planet, was he not?
Yes.
Okay, and he was showing you the future of what's a reality. Okay, all right.
And every single thing that he told me and showed me has happened.
Well,
I was maybe my early 20s when he showed me this, so I have no reason to suppose it will change over the next 2 or 3 years, because everything he ever showed me has happened, right? One after the other.
Okay. But George talked about it too. Can you talk a little bit about what he said would transpire here on this planet? I got a little small clip. I think he talks about soul energy.
Existence
here.
Right now. Mm. And what we're creating. And it's not only the we, it's everybody else that's involved in their thought processes that is being coalesced from the creation in order to try to figure a way to come back out of this with the least destruction to the soul energy.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul has to wake up and say, wait a minute, there's something above me. See, the ego keeps you back down to the me, I, and all that kind of stuff. We're all together. I love you all. We don't care. We're all one.
Okay, could you explain that soul energy for us, those of us who don't know?
Well, life life is everywhere and in everything. It's part of the all. You know, the totality of life, the totality of the universe. Mm-hmm. And every individual being, every sentient being, has been given that divine spark, which is life. And then by your own deeds, you add energy to that divine spark. You build like a pearl around it, it's like a pearl around a piece of grit in an oyster. And that is soul energy. And it belongs to you as an individual. It is true, we are all one, ultimately. But when we are experiencing, we are experiencing as individual units, as separate units. The soul energy, my soul energy belongs to me and is my responsibility, as yours belongs to you. And you are responsible for it. You are responsible for all the choices you make in life. And there is always choice. You can always choose. And every time you make a right choice in life, which is more often than you probably think, every time you make a right choice, you add a little bit of energy to your soul so that it grows from lifetime to lifetime. Now, when you do a lot of things that are wrong and you know they're wrong, right? Which is not the same as a mistake. It's a deliberate intention to do something which you know is wrong. When you do that, it burns off soul energy much faster than you would think. You can do, it's kind of like snakes and ladders. You know, it takes you a long time to get up the ladder, but you make one big mistake and you're right back down at the bottom of this snake. So we burn soul energy by wrong behavior. But we gain energy by every right thought, word, and deed. Every time we get it right, we add energy. And that is soul energy. And it belongs to each and every one of you. It's not the same as life force. Your life force belongs always to the creation and is always part of the all and part of the one. And when you ultimately no longer need this three-dimensional experience for your own growth, then all that you have acquired in your soul energy, you will give to the all. You will offer it to the all. Because it's ultimately, I guess you might say, it's God's way of learning.
Right? Okay.
It's adding to the totality.
Uh-huh. But I think, help me if I'm wrong. We were sent here, this is a school for most of us, okay? Now that we are in school, to learn whatever. What are we supposed to be learning? Help us. To love and to care and to share? Is that where we are coming from?
We're supposed to be learning one thing.
Okay.
One thing. To choose. We're learning to choose. That's it. Because when we learn to choose rightly, we will choose love, we will choose joy, we will choose happiness, we will choose that which helps other people, right? We will choose, once we learn to choose, then all those other things are the attributes of right choice.
I see. Okay. All right. When we finally learn how to choose rightly with love, then what happens? Do we create an energy, a light energy from that, or what?
You mean when we die? No, let's stick with this planet. Let's stick
where
we are now. I'll tell you what happens, right?
Okay.
Every time you learn to do things rightly, you add to your soul energy. As you understand the process, because understanding is the key. Remember in the Bible, it tells you without understanding, we're as beasts in the field. And this is very true. In other words, because it's telling you we are by nature animals on this planet. Everything is part of the flora and fauna of the planet. We're part of the fauna of the planet. As we evolve, as we learn to choose rightly, we add understanding, we put light into our system, and we add understanding, and we grow. we learn, our soul energy grows. Now, let us suppose that we've had enough lifetimes and we have learned to choose rightly. We are now an enlightened being, right? Well, what happens then? In the center of every cell, if you were to step inside one of your cells, if you could stand at the nucleus and look around, you would see that the lining of your cells kind of looks like being inside a honeycomb. That's pretty much what it looks like when you step inside it. But those honeycombs all have, look as if they have like little mirrors on them. You know, like you see those Indian dresses woven with tiny bits of mirror sewn all over them. Well, when you stand at the nucleus of a cell and look around, it kind of looks like that. The cell is reflecting back to the nucleus everything it knows, right? Now, in other words, instructions, right, to make the body work, because it's all physical. But now you have become an enlightened being. And so your cell is not only full of the optimum nutrients to create a healthy body, it's also full of light. And the cell itself is a semi-permeable membrane. The light can get through it. So when you are enlightened, you as a being will glow. You will literally glow. You'll glow in the dark.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, George did talk about soul energy, the Christ soul. Let me just click this on, and you can maybe help me understand all the nuances of this. Okay?
I mean, that's got me in trouble in Billy.
I presume that you are not in a position to help us meet Billy.
No. Well, Billy doesn't want to meet anybody. You
that's
already met somebody.
My impression.
What's his name down at, supposedly his liaison might be.
Yeah, we did.
But I don't know if he'd help you or not either. But, you know, Billy.
No, I know Michael, you know.
Michael Horn?
Yeah, well, I know Michael.
You know, they got mad at
he's
me.
He's tried, but we haven't.
No, I published the Talmud of Emmanuel over there, and they got all mad about that because I didn't put the German in it. Yeah, I don't know if you understand the original. When I got the Talmud, we had a college kid translate it from that High German, that Zweisse Deutsch, into English. And my wife and I took the documents over. I mean, this is even another more strange. We just took the documents over here, and we immediately, I sent out a whole bunch of copies to people. One of them was to a guy named, he's in California, I'm putting his name on there. Anyway, he reprinted it, and they changed some stuff around. And he was channeling so-called Hatton. And the information we got was that was really good stuff. And I dropped $500,000 and got a divorce, actually about $1 million, and got a divorce over that thing because we thought they were really connected with, you know, that group. And it turned out to be a big swindle.
Oh, man.
Anyway, they published the Talmud, their version of it. Well, my wife and Jim Deardorff worked on it for 2 years. Well, now we got another problem that stepped in. That was my ex-wife. I've only been married a few months, just so you know. But my ex-wife and I, we spent 20 years going running around the world, you know, playing the game. But when we met Billy over there, we kind of made agreements together. Well, what was the problem with the Talmud? That was the teachings of Emmanuel or Christ, right? Well, where did Christ go and where is he now? Well, we became in contact. Now that stops the whole story again, doesn't it? With
meaning,
the Christ being Emmanuel, who calls himself Sananda right now. Then we got the information on the translation of the Talmud, so then we did it, and we said, why do we want to put the German down? Because Billy wasn't responsible for that. That was the Greek priest, Rashid, who did the translation from Aramaic into Zweisse Deutsch. There wasn't any copyright. It wasn't Billy's anyway in the first place. So what we did is then we were working on doing the translations. Then we were in contact directly with the Christ being energy. It's kind of like what I did, the Nostradamus material with Dolores Cannon. You familiar with her?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know you did that.
Dolores Cannon couldn't talk to anybody. She was stutterer all the time. And she sent me the manuscript. I so read the manuscript, and I told Desiree, I says, you know, this is pretty interesting. Let's check it out. So we made a contract. We published Dolores Cannon's first book, Conversation with Nostradamus, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I then set it up because we had a place in Beverly Hills. We got NBC and CBS to do our features on it.
Okay, could you talk more about that, the Christ energy he's talking about? Could you?
Well, I could, right?
Uh-huh.
And I will, but there's also one or two other things I need to say. As
okay,
you are
sure.
putting that out, this is George, right? This is
of course.
George before George and I were married, right?
Oh,
this is
I
George
see.
Putting stuff out there, and I will speak about it, but don't ask me to agree with it all, right?
Oh, okay.
Because I don't.
Okay.
I never did.
Okay.
And George knew that. That's why he wouldn't take me anywhere, because I didn't agree with him all the time. That's true, Russell. That's true, right? He made me stay home because I didn't agree. But I'm glad he did say, that the one who's calling himself Sananda, because there is something I have to say here. And it's, I'm not speaking against my darling George, because I loved him to pieces, do love him to pieces. And he was the most wonderful man I ever knew, and he was brilliant. But even the best of us can easily be misled and manipulated, especially by extraterrestrials. I used to say when I did classes to the group, don't jump on the first spaceship you see. Find out who's driving it first, right? This is not the first time that you have brought into one of your discussions with me something that involved the Billy Meyer and Billy Meyer material, right? And
uh-huh.
what George was talking about then was to do the Talmud, all to do with Billy Meyer and that whole thing, right? Well, I mentioned to you a book that I read recently by Dr. Michael Sala, The Antarctica, The Hidden History, which is an amazing book. And I wish everybody
right.
could read it. I wish everybody would read it, right? Because it's important, factual material that is well documented and has proven to be, in the most part, verified as correct, right? So, and I like the truth about things. Now,
sure.
in that book, there is a photograph of the psychic lady, Maria Orsic, who was helping the Germans, the Vril Society, before World War II, and subsequently members of the Nazi Party in that group, and who has since been apparently, according to her, working with the Pleiadians in Antarctica, alongside the other group down there, the Reptilian group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the photograph of that lady by the group making the inquiry, and I forget the name, but it's all documented in the book, tells you who it was. When they took the photograph and showed it to Billy Meyer, Billy Meyer took one look at it and said, yes, that's Semyasi. Now, Semyasi is the extraterrestrial Pleiadian lady who is in all the photographs in his books, who is the one who went on and off the ships to his property, and who gave him all his information, or most of his information. The gentleman, the tall, blonde, Nordic-looking gentleman, who is supposed to be the other extraterrestrial, and who identified himself to George when George and Desiree were over there as Quetzal, and who was the one who asked George to produce the paradigm books and dictated them to him, right? Turns out that neither of these are extraterrestrials, that the photograph is the photograph of the Maria Orsic, who is an Eastern European psychic of some kind, apparently very clever at what she does, very good at what she does, and the man is an ex-Nazi German. And these are the people who fed all that information into those books. So this is why I really don't like talking about it, because I was never in support of those books of themselves, because there's nothing bad in them, and there's some quite interesting, and useful bits of spiritual information. In other words, there's nothing wrong with them, right? But you have to understand what they're doing. They undo the old brainwashing to replace it with a new one, a new set of rules to live by. And I don't like that. And that's why I don't like to talk about George's stuff. And I didn't talk to him about it, and it truly is why he would not take him to most places with him, because he knew, always knew. And I can assure you, if he had read that book, which only came out in 2018, and remember, George died in 2019, if he'd read that book, he'd be the one on your radio show now saying, sorry about this, folks, be careful, because these are people who admitted, well, yes, we're not really extraterrestrials. We're just pretending to be because it impresses the humans more when we want them to do something. And basically that was their response when they were challenged. In other words, they are representing the Pleiadian influence on this planet. They are feeding a massive information out to rebrainwash people to their way of thinking, right? So they'll be prepared, and they're lying about it. They're not coming out and being honest. They're another set of politicians, another set of liars. Don't believe them.
Wow, wow. So
because here's another group. They just want to take over our planet. And this planet belongs to people of Earth. It doesn't belong to the Pleiadians. It does the reptilians.
Oh, okay. I have a book in front of me. It's called The Pleiadians and Our Secret Destiny by Frederick Dodson.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to that because I have the audio and I have the book in front of me. And you might want to pick that up and comment on that at some point. The Pleiades and Our Secret Destiny. So the Pleiadians, they come in from different parts, Sirius. Where are they coming from in the universe?
Well, from Sirius and the Pleiadians, the stars in the Pleiadian system. There are seven sisters, right? Seven stars. And they come from that system. As indeed did I. You know, there are many, many groups live in the Pleiadian system, star system. Mm-hmm. But the ones who are calling themselves Pleiadians are primarily, to the best of my knowledge, from Sirius, the Sirius connection. And they have been instrumental in influencing thought on this planet down the ages, because as soon as the Anunnaki left this planet and left the developing Egypt at the time that Egypt was developing, they stepped in and they developed all the Egyptian mystery schools, all the stuff that they do in the mystery schools in Egypt. That's Syrian. That's from the Pleiadians and Syrians, from Sirius. Mm-hmm, and it's some of it is very, very esoteric, spiritually very high, but it also makes use of, by exclusion, large numbers of people. It's not inclusive. Their system and their belief structure and the things they teach are no more inclusive than we have on the planet today. There are many exclusions of people for a variety. It's a very selective organization, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a secret society, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Where you might belong or your faith might not fit.
Okay.
And that's not the way it should be. And that's why I kind of object when anybody, including my darling George, when anybody blames Christ for any of this, because believe me, Jesus had nothing to do with any of it.
Okay, he was an Anunnaki? Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to say anything about his origins, right?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm simply saying that he did not have anything to do with any of the political stuff that's going on now.
Okay.
And especially with that play. He was not pretending to be a Pleiadian, pretending to be Christ, right? They've come up with this new name, Sananda, right? And they even say that's his new name. It's not even a name.
It's not a name.
It's a job description.
Okay. All right. So we are still being manipulated. So where do we turn to? You have the Anunnaki who created us, modified us, whatever.
Yeah.
Where are we? We got all the Dracos, Reptilians, Pleiadians, the Nordics, the Blue Angels. Go ahead. Tell us. Help us.
It's so simple. It's so simple.
Lay it out for us.
You're here. We all are here to learn to choose, right?
Uh-huh.
We all know, all of us, right from wrong. There is no excuse. The soul itself knows what is right and what is wrong. And so long as we choose to do that which is wrong, we're on the wrong side. And so long as we choose to do that which is right, we are on the right side. It really is that simple. So you know perfectly well, right, that when, well, something happens and you choose something which is the most expedient thing for you to do, even though you know it's a wrong thing in itself. Like somebody sends you, or to make it simple, you walk down the street and the person walking in front of you opens their purse and inadvertently drops a $20 bill. And you're walking right behind them. You pick the bill up. Now, what do you do with that bill? Do you put it in your pocket, or do you hurry to catch up with them and give it them back?
You give it
and
to them.
That's, right. And that's how simple life really is. Right from wrong.
Right.
And it's got nothing to do with laws, although there are laws, and sometimes there are laws which you know are wrong. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
are evil laws. And then you stand up against those laws and get them changed. Like, for instance, your favorite subject, right? Racial discrimination. Right? Everybody had to know that it was wrong to tell some people they could go into a restaurant and some people couldn't.
True.
Everybody knows that's wrong. But how many people stood up? And how long did it take for them to stand up and say, this is wrong?
Hundreds of years.
Right. Now then, I will tell you something right now that every single person who, if you air this show, every single person listening can do this sometime during the next week, and they can find out for themselves where they stand. Are they on the right side or the wrong side of the road?
Okay.
The next time you hear in the company that you are keeping, whether it's 2 people, 5 people, or 50 people, as soon as you hear one of those other people start passing gossip, unkind gossip, about another person known to you or the group, and you stand there and listen to it and do nothing, you know you're on the wrong side of the road. Now, other people have the right to their opinion, and you don't have the right to choose for them. So I'm not saying you have to go in and tell them, be quiet, you can't say that. Yes, they can say what they like, that's their choice. But your choice is to say, well, excuse me, I can't listen to this, I'll leave you. And you go.
Okay.
And all of us are going to hear something of that nature. If we were out at work or mixing with people, somebody's going to say something, because gossip is the food of every day. It's on the television, it's on the news, it's everywhere. Everybody's gossiping. Everybody's saying bad things about other people all the time.
And
so that is so common that you are bound to run across it in the next week or so. And as soon as you do, recognize what your own reaction is. Because here's another secret. You can stand and think about something and then say, wait a minute, if I do this, then it's going to be wrong. And then if I do wrong, I'll, you know, not doing what I should be doing. And you can have a real discussion with yourself. And then you can do the right thing. Well, that's better than doing the wrong thing. But it is not really an assessment of where you are. The assessment of where you are is your spontaneous response to the situation. Whatever the situation is, it is our instantaneous response that tells us where we stand spiritually, that allows us to get to know ourselves. And it applies to all of us. And we can find out about our... You know, I'll tell you something about me, right? So you understand what I mean.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I can say, about myself, I am a coward. Now, that's a terrible thing to be. And if somebody said to me, oh, you're so cowardly, I would say, oh, you know, that's not very nice. But it's the truth, because I am afraid of practically every animal on this planet. They all terrify me. Even neighbors' dogs terrify me, right?
I see.
And so I remember when I was living in Indonesia, I had a screen-netted porch. And I was sitting out on the terrace drinking coffee one night. And one of the servants was out in the garden, and he came running up the little drive. It was a short drive, and there was a car park there. And he was waving a stick and shouting, "Oolang, oolang, oolang." A snake had come in the yard and gone under the car. And what did I do? I ran in the screen porch and shut the door. I shut the servant out, right?
Oh.
Cowardly. Now, okay. He took a stick. He took a stick and changed the snake. He knew what he was doing, right?
Sure.
But what a cowardly thing of me to do. I went in and shut the door because I'm terrified of snakes.
Sure.
I know. So that is okay. That's one of the things I know about myself. That when it comes to something like being attacked by a snake, I'm a coward and I know it, right? Because that was my instant response. Of course, as soon as I caught my breath, I went back out and made sure everything was all right, right?
Sure, sure. It was so your immediate reaction.
Our immediate reaction tells us something about ourselves.
Okay. The book I'm talking about, the Pleiades and Our Secret Destiny. I'm going to read one statement. I want you to comment on this. It says, if you know yourself well, you will know reality and the nature of the universe well. If you are honest with yourself and others, you will see more truth. It is your own integrity that reveals all the mysteries of life to you. How do you view that statement?
Yes.
Okay.
What I wrote was the same thing. The same thing. I wrote that in a book a long time ago, and it said the integrity of your soul. I've forgotten what I wrote, but it's the same thing. Yes. The integrity of your soul is the absolute thing to aim for at all times. And it is true. In order to know your soul, you have to know yourself. Your soul is yourself. And so you have to know yourself if you're going to have understanding. And you have to be objectively honest at soul level with yourself. Just like I was about acknowledging I'm afraid of the animals on this planet. I'm a coward. They all frighten me. And I know that. And my behavior, therefore, is less than it should be physically when I'm confronted with it. So that's a big failing. And so, yes, you must have integrity at soul level. Integrity is the single thing that's lacking. Common sense and integrity are the two things that are most lacking.
So you did say at one point that the human beings on this planet, because they don't have mental telepathy or remote viewing, or can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? And they don't they can't read other people's minds, right? Telepathy. That it is an advantage for them to be here to work out their own destiny by making the right choice.
Exactly.
Okay.
I just remembered what the thing was that I wrote that was the same thing. I wrote, your personal power is in direct proportion to the integrity of your soul.
I see.
And that's true, right? Your personal power. That's your ability to manage yourself and all those things which it is your right to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more power you have, the more you manage.
Right, right. We are coming up on 2020, December, and we're also coming up on 2025. Do you think that what has been projected all these eons ago, that there will be a serious shift in consciousness in the next 5 years? Do you think that will happen?
Come 2025, the winter solstice of 2025 to the spring solstice of 2026, sometime during that period of time, it is estimated And that's mathematical calculation. That's nothing to do with belief structure. It is estimated mm-hmm. that it's during that period that a perfect alignment of our planet and our solar system, along with the rest of our universe, with the central source of creation, the central light, if you like, will take place. And when it does, there will be a break in the space-time continuum. And all those who have developed their soul's integrity and amassed for themselves sufficient soul energy to be consciously aware of themselves will have the opportunity to move forward in what will be a frequency shift, a complete change of awareness and understanding of who they are, where they are, and what they're doing and how they're living. All those who have not made the effort to harness the good from lifetime to lifetime and rather have depleted it will simply, you might say, be abandoned by the wayside. How the all will deal with them, I don't know, but I do understand that it could be a fallback even as far as the Iron Age for the human race. They will not be wiped out, but they will be greatly depleted in numbers and could degenerate back over two generations to the Iron Age.
Well, for anybody who wants to move forward, that'd be tragic to go back.
Right, but yes. But they, if they want to go forward, then presumably they've been making the effort to go forward. They've been learning. See, it really, I guess the easiest way to say it is be true, be truthful. Let truth be your guide because life is all there is. Throughout all the dimensions, throughout all the frequencies, throughout all the planes of experience, throughout all the levels and planes of life, living experiences that are available. Indeed, throughout all the different universes that are available. Mm-hmm. The only thing that really matters is gathering understanding. When you understand, then you gain wisdom. And when you gain wisdom, you automatically choose the best way to go with everything you do. And so those people who have amassed soul energy have got understanding, have got wisdom, and will move forward. And it's not, it really isn't a kindness to a child who has gone through school. You know, from the age of, say, 6 to 15, they've been going to school every day and they have never learned to read and they have never learned to write. And the teachers have just moved them forward, moved, and they do this. You and I both know they do this. When I lived in Detroit, there were a lot of kids who came out of school at 15 and 16 who couldn't apply for jobs because they couldn't read and write. I remember
true.
That very well.
True.
Right?
True.
So.
True.
We know that that happens, but are those teachers who move them forward doing those kids any kindness? However
no.
humiliating it was for a 15-year-old to be sitting with six-year-olds in a classroom, wouldn't it be better for him if he was made to sit there until he could learn to read and write? Right?
Yeah, I guess that'd be
you don't. So,
better
so
way.
That's the same. That's the same for the human race. Those who have done the work and made the effort will be able to move on to a new and hopefully more enjoyable experience. And those who haven't done the work or haven't done enough of it at this point in time to warrant a forward upward movement will simply be put back in class. And because we have become dependent as a society almost entirely on technology, and because it is true, the evil people on the planet are trying to bring in AI for everything. They want minimum numbers of real people living on the planet and large numbers of artificial intelligence creatures doing all the work for them. So they just have a slave labor force of humans. We know that that's going on, and that's going to be another whole mess that will have to be cleaned up. So there's a huge amount during the next 300 to 400 years. On this planet, and that's how long it is estimated it will take, we're going to see two things, a huge redesign so much as reteaching of the human race with some small genetic alterations to hopefully make them less warlike. And it's estimated it will take 7 generations, but it is also anticipated that because of everything that's coming down over the next few years, the next decade, let's say, so much technology will be lost and there won't be people to put it back. There won't be people to maintain it. There won't be ways to maintain it. And so that in 2 or 3 generations is what will take people back down almost to Stone Age conditions. Because you take away the technology and where are they? You know, kids don't even learn how to do multiplication tables today. They do their little fingers on the computer and that's it.
Right.
They can
yes.
actually take these smartphones into exams with them and go on the calculator. And it's amazing.
True.
But they don't
True.
Actually learn anything today. They know a lot, but they don't learn anything.
I see. Would you say, based on the systems that are in place, most people aren't able to be rational and logical thinkers? Would you say that? Would you go that far?
Yes, I would. I would.
Right, right.
And I don't understand why, because all the computerization is based on logic. But they don't understand even the tools they're using. You
yeah,
know, they
yeah.
don't, they're not interested. They're not
right.
interested. They just want to get to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I think I just said something interesting then, and I surprised myself, but I'm going to repeat it if I can remember what I said.
Okay.
I said they know a lot, but they don't learn anything, right?
You did, you said that, yes.
Yes, well, that really is a profound statement because it's part of the problem of the whole planet today. We are so swamped with information, with data. The data input never stops, but we don't digest any of it. We don't understand any of it, and we make very little use of any of it.
I see.
The noise never stops long enough. How many people do you know who, at normal, nice adult people, who, if you ask them, they might even say, well, you know, I'm maybe not very religious, but I'm spiritual. In other words, I'm talking about normal thinking people. How many of them will say to you, oh, as soon as I come in from work, I switch the television on, or I switch the radio
sure.
on, or if I'm
sure.
home all day, I have to
sure,
have music
sure.
playing, right?
Sure, sure.
Because they cannot be quiet with themselves. They can't be in silence and digest what's already in their brain.
Okay.
They have to keep having more and more input to stop them from thinking.
Okay. So, if I may, the average person watches television, according to the latest statistics I've seen, or the games or whatever they're doing online. They do that about 8 hours a day, some more. That's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
they're infused with a lot of information, but that doesn't necessarily say you are logical, rational, ethically, morally guided by your
no.
wisdom. Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
It
All
actually
right.
defeats the possibility of you ever becoming wise.
Mm-hmm.
You can never becoming. It's like you don't nourish your body if you gobble every meal down and then you make yourself throw it back up because you've got bulimia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to nourish your body no matter how much food you take in when you do that, right? You're going
True.
To starve to death. Well,
True.
That's what's happening. That right now the world population, through the television, through the smartphone, through the internet, through all the social media, tweeting and Facebooking and everything, it never stops. They never
mm-hmm.
stop to think.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
mm-hmm.
stuff in. And there's no wonder we have a president now who tweets his life away with half of it rubbish, right?
Right, right.
Because
right.
that's what the whole world does. And that's what the world understands today
mm-hmm.
is tweeting rubbish, right? They don't actually think about anything. The best thing that could happen, seriously, the best thing that could happen for the planet today, and especially for the United States of America, would be if the internet went completely down for the next 6 months.
Okay. Well,
that would be a real help.
Well, that may happen down the road here.
Yes.
Can't some meteor interrupt this whole thing and shut it? It can be shut down. It's not. It has
yes,
to.
Yes, it can.
Okay, it can be shut down. Yeah, but would AI take over then at that point?
Well, I'm very much afraid that if we don't get rid of a lot of the AI, we're in trouble there as well, because a lot of the AI, as far as I understand it, is so far advanced that even the people who built some of these pieces of equipment, because that's all they are, pieces of equipment, even the builders don't understand them anymore when they're talking to each other.
True,
the AIs are talking to each other.
They
improve themselves.
That's true. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. They were ahead of the people who have created them.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about something briefly in the next few minutes. Most people here, they say they are Catholic or Protestant or Methodist or, you know, Jehovah's Witness or whatever, But they all think in terms of the end, because they're afraid of death. So they think that when they leave here, they don't know where they're going. They don't know if they will still be in existence. How do you see that? What would you tell them, most people who are afraid of death, afraid of dying, and have that enormous apprehension about the next life? What would you say to those people?
Well, what I would say is you're right to be afraid of dying, because dying can be and often is a very unpleasant experience. You should not, however, be afraid of being dead, because dead generally is quite glorious, right? Unless you've been a really, really bad person, right? And you're in the punishment zone. And for most people, it really is just literally like stepping into another room. You know, they can look back and see everything that they left behind and all their friends and family. They can sometimes they can't understand why they're shouting at you and you can't hear them, you know. But for most people, when they die, at the moment after death, when they stop breathing and they're dead, right, the first thing they become aware of is a place filled with what they expected. And that's where religion comes in, and that's why it's very hard for people who have absolutely no belief and are atheists, because for them, they don't expect anything at all, so they just open up into a dark place. I mean, that's all there is. There's nothing but darkness for them until they finally get around to thinking, well, maybe I got it wrong. But for most people, they will see, firstly, what they expected. If they're Christians, they might see, well, particularly if they're Catholics, they might see the Madonna. They will most certainly see angels, maybe Christ, as they imagine him, waiting to greet them. So there'd be all these, plus their friends and their family members. They're all waiting for you on the other side, and they're all happy to see you. And then there is a pattern that applies pretty well to everybody. First, you see what you expect to see, and that lasts as long as it takes for you to realize that you're dead, right? Once you realize that you're dead, then you kind of get into the counseling mode, where there's a review with kind, very kind volunteer beings, right, who are working on the other side and who review all you've done in your past life and pretty well let you know where you stand. And while that is going on, while that interview of the you who you just were living, right? Let's say Russ's interview or Jillian's interview, right? While we're getting interviewed, our soul energy as being passed. It's as if it goes on a journey. And our soul energy leaves us and goes on a journey back to the source, the all. And it is laid over the imprint of the original gift of life that was given to us by the source. And if we perfectly match that original imprint, in other words, if we have become in the best possible way all we were ever intended to be, then we are done with planet Earth. And then there's a whole different story. But for most people, the soul energy does not quite match the perfection of the original issue of form that it was given, right? Something's a bit out of line. So then that energy comes back to you, and then you take up lodgings, if you like, on the astral plane while you wait for your turn to be approached and offered another life and another body, another life experience. After you've reviewed with your counselors what you need to learn, what you need to do better, right? And so they find you a home for the future where you will have the best opportunity to learn those lessons. And then you come back.
But you've been in and out of here for the last 4,000 years.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Why you keep coming back here? Isn't there other places you could go?
Yes and no. One, you're on this planet. Until you have done with this planet, you cannot leave it. I cannot leave it until, A, I finish the original contract I made with my off-planet friends, which means I'm going to be on this planet for the next 300 or 400 years, at which time I will be leaving it, I can assure you. But I will be here for 300 or 400 more years, right? Also, this is not my home planet. I am not permanently anchored here, you might say. I am only temporarily. I'm like somebody in America with a green card, you know. I'm not a citizen. I'm a green card holder in that sense. And so I do have the right to leave. And
but not yet.
And I've needed to keep coming back in these reincarnational processes for my own benefit, to keep my life cycles going and to learn things which this planet offered me the opportunity to learn while I was here. So I've been learning like everybody else.
Okay.
Hopefully I've learned something.
Okay. But all those times, can't you say, ho, stop. Let me just go somewhere else and forego going back there, because that's a jungle back there. Right.
Well, it is, and I have to confess, I did not want to come this time, and it was only because, and especially as I know I've got 300 or 400 more years to do after the change, for the cleanup. I'm on the cleanup crew, and I know that. So I really did not want to come this time because I knew that life is going to be not as desirable as one would want.
But you've had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
You don't think you've had a, okay, why are you complaining?
Well, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to have it in the first place.
Oh, you wanted to go somewhere else?
I didn't want to go anywhere. I was perfectly fine where I was, and I didn't want to come here.
So they volunteered you to come back.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, you see, you have to realize this, that from an Anunnaki point of view, I was only rebirthed to the Anunnaki some like 60,000 years ago, which makes me very young in Anunnaki terms. And that being the case, I am no more to them than a recalcitrant teenager would be to any family on this planet.
I see.
And so they decided that while I was stuck here, because I was stuck here, right, while I was obliged to be stuck here, I might as well get busy learning something. And the thing that I was most supposed to learn was unconditional love and humility. And it is true that both those attributes are the cornerstone of spiritual evolution. You don't progress spiritually unless you can learn to love unconditionally and unless you have humility. Well,
okay.
To be fair to myself, I'm not so bad on the unconditionally loving bit. If I don't have to actually see anybody or have dealings with anybody, I love them all, right? If I don't have to deal with them, it's easy to love them unconditionally, right?
You can do it
from afar. Right, the humility bit, that's probably why I prefer to be an OR nurse than any other kind, right? Because the patients were all unconscious when they came to me. But no, all joking aside, I never mastered the humility bit. And I think they're probably thinking that 300 or 400 more years in this purgatory will undoubtedly teach me some humility. But No, I'm because you say things to me like, oh, you know so much about this or that. Actually, what I know, it would fit on a pinhead compared to what my peers know when I'm at home. I really am. No more.
Actually,
if I were to go home tomorrow, I'd be a 20-year-old just signing up to go to school, college.
I see. So the 8 billion people who are here, they must
right.
go in and out? Are they going to all go in and out all the time?
No, that's not necessarily true.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the original number of Earth humans ever was or was intended to be or could be. I have no idea. But I do know that at this time in history, the last, let's say, couple of hundred years, really ever since the American Declaration of Independence, that document is going to be used to run this whole planet.
Right? I see.
Down the line, that's the document they're going to use to run the planet. And because of this season of change that the human species on this planet is going through, where we have like, you know, when you have that thing on Wall Street where all three things happen at once, what is it, Witching Friday or Black Friday or something they call it, when trade numbers come in and employment numbers come in, everything all comes at once.
Sure.
Well, that's the season that humanity is in and planet Earth is in at the moment. Everything's coming at once. A planetary alignment, a cosmic alignment, and geophysical changes, economic changes, and spiritual changes, all hitting at once right now in this first part of the 21st century. And because of that, for the last couple of hundred years, people from other planetary systems have been crowding to get places on this planet, to experience life on this planet, to experience this change and to have the opportunity that it offers. Because more than anything else, times of strife, war, hardship, difficulty, and political upheaval, more than anything else, give every individual the opportunity to choose which side they're on.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so pestilence, disease, and tragic upheavals will force you.
Do you really? Right. You come face to face with yourself and what is true to you and what is not true to you. And you have choices to make. That doesn't happen when everything's sweet and sunny in the garden, everything's rosy, right? We're all jogging happily along. But when you get chaos and upheaval, then you have to choose. And everything that's been happening, and it's been pushed now since the year 2000, it's really getting pushed for people to make the choices. And it's every single day. And it's from the smallest to the largest things. If you make bad choices in the small things in life, you will make bad choices in the big things in life for sure. And so these beings from all these other planets who have telepathy as a means of communication and therefore in a way are compelled to make better choices because everybody else knows what they're up to as soon as they think about it, right? They don't have great opportunity for choosing. So they've been crowding onto this planet. So I would venture to say that probably at least half the people on this planet are from other planets. They don't belong here at all.
And
when the change occurs, the alignment occurs, they will one way or another be off this planet, and then they will go home. They won't be coming back to this planet. This planet belongs to the people of Earth, and the people of Earth are going to get it back. And I promise you that when Trump finishes cleaning out the swamp, right, and I think he will. If he doesn't, there are others who will. The reptilians are not going to take over this planet, and all their evil-doing friends, like that they are in cahoots with, like the Clintons and the Gates and the, you know, all these evil industrial people, the George Soroses of this world and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they are not going to win, right?
They think they are, but they are not.
They will be the ones who are going back to the Iron Age. So the reptilians are not going to take over, and the Pleiadians are not going to have our planet either.
This planet
belongs to Earth people. It was developed by the Anunnaki for the Earth people. That's why the Anunnaki taught them agriculture and metalworking and everything else. Way beyond getting the gold, they taught the people how to live on their planet and develop their planet. And they will come back to renew and finish those lessons until the humans on the planet learn the lesson. They will learn it.
All right. I want to good. I just want to step back. For whatever reason, I was watching George Shinori earlier today, Beyond Belief, and he talked about the Egyptian Empire, and who was Thor? Whatever his name is.
Thoth, the Egyptian.
Yes.
Thoth.
Yeah. Yeah, he was saying how dynamic he was in creating a whole different systems economically, politically, socially, psychologically, and philosophically. Was he from the Pleiades? Where was he from?
No, he's pure Anunnaki.
Oh,
he's
I see.
I called. He's my one I called David. When you hear me talk about David, that's who I'm talking about. Right, and of course, he was the original Thoth the Atlantean. He was the survivor of Atlantis who went over to Egypt and developed, took the wild people, you know, they were living in caves at the time, I believe, the wild people that were running around in Egypt and developed them, developed their society.
I see. But he was brilliant. He lived for 10,000 years or more?
Oh, we all did.
Oh, you're right.
10,000 years is nothing. 10,000 years is nothing. Just every now and then you have to have a going over, a review.
A reminder of why you're here.
A remake.
Yeah, because you can forget your purpose. You stay so long, huh? You can be co-opted.
I think a lot of us with that kind of life, everything takes longer. You take longer to find your purpose. It seems a long time here, but there it just seems the same. You know what I'm saying? To me, living 10,000 years is no different to the time I've lived 80 years in this lifetime. It's no different.
You do
the same things and learn the same things and have the same experiences, and that there are advantages, right? You have a better, more durable body if you're other than humans. Earth humans are very fragile. And this, for me personally, and for one or two others that I know, the main focus of our goal in the future with this genetic engineering is undoubtedly to correct the genetic mistakes which we made last time and make sure that it never happens again, and that we remove permanently a great many of the diseases that affect humans, that humans suffer from on this planet. That people are not meant to be in pain and suffering and have the terrible diseases that they really do have on this planet. And much of it has come about because of the faulty genetic engineering in the first place. But that has been compounded by the environment and the pharmaceutical companies.
And the bad
genetically
food.
Yes, the food. The food, the diet. That's part of the environment to me, you know, all the genetic engineering of foods and things.
Sure.
So what we, when people say, well, how will it be after the shift, after the change comes, what you will go back to is the planet itself rejuvenating itself in this process in much the way that it was, well, 15, 20,000 years ago. First of all, the planet itself will experience a mini ice age. We are moving into an ice age, a mini ice age, a small ice age. In other words, parts of the planet will stay clear, but probably as much as a third of the planet will be under ice for a very long time. And then we will see after the change, as the planet regenerates, that it will go back to how it used to be before the last ice age, which was, what, 15,000 years ago it ended, when it really was a Garden of Eden. You know, you could just go out and get food, and everything was so lush and green and lovely. And the interesting thing about it was that the animals then, because the animals had not been taught fear, right, being hunted and killed, they were tame, relatively speaking, tame. Some of the big predator animals, you know, lions and tigers and things, well, you better be careful around them. But they weren't automatically going to be killing people because they had no reason to. They were not afraid of man. It was only when humans hunted animals and killed them and made them afraid that they became vicious.
I see. Okay. The next time I call you, I'm wrapping up in 2 minutes here, I would recommend you read The Pleiades and Our Secret Destiny by Frederick Dodson, Dodson. And I'd like to talk to you about that next time around. What do you think?
Yeah, okay. The Pleiades and what is it? The Pleiades and
Our Secret Destiny by Frederick
Dodson. And Our Secret Destiny. I'll see if I can get a copy, right?
Yeah, I got it from Amazon. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. I really appreciate all of the insights and the information that you have passed on. People will listen and grow just a little bit more because of you. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me and giving me a chance to talk about these things with people. And I will say that I did have a lady call me. She'd heard one of your shows, and she actually called me earlier today.
Today.
And had some questions.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is interesting. I thought that was interesting because she just called me earlier today.
And here we are again.
Yes. Yes. She picked up some information and wanted some more answers. So that was great. That was very nice.
Great. Great. Well, as long as it helps somebody, that's a
good
thing, right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time on this. And so,
thanks, Ralph. Bye now.
Okay, bye now. You have a great week now.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. Talk to you next time. Okay, wrapping up. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back next week, probably, with somebody else talking about some other big issues that you're concerned about, all here, right on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good one. See you next week. Take care. Bye now.